Hey everyone, my name is Randall Heyer. I'm the Worship Arts Pastor here at Cochrane Alliance Church. We are so glad that you've come to check out the latest sermon. We pray that you are encouraged, you are challenged, and ultimately drawn closer to Jesus. Enjoy.
Well, good to be with you this morning. I trust that all of you enjoyed a good Christmas and New Year's. And just getting past Christmas, I was even hearing as we were greeting today, people talking about gifts. And I'm sure that there were many good gifts that were exchanged, maybe some that weren't so good. I don't know. I don't want to cause any controversy. But gifts are interesting in this, that they can be easily misunderstood. Gifts are good, but sometimes can be easily misunderstood. Now, I'm not talking about a poor gift or a bad gift. Man, if you got your wife like a toaster or a vacuum or something, this isn't your excuse to say, my wife just misunderstood. No, you missed. That's your bad. I'm talking about gifts that are given with good intention, but are often misunderstood by the person who receives it. To illustrate that, I want you to watch an ad that came out just over about a month ago, and a lot of controversy surrounded it, but I think it's one in which the creators had a very different understanding than what was received and was greatly misunderstood. I'm sure many of you have seen it. If you haven't, though, check out this ad by Peloton. You're laughing already. Just from that, you can tell that there was a lot of controversy that surrounded this ad. Now, a lot of people felt that it was inappropriate or not an appropriate thing to give, or even that this woman should be receiving it. Now, I don't want to start digging into all of that. I'm not here to have a conversation around that, so I'm not supporting one way or another. But if you just do a quick search, you'll see everything that surrounded that. But I show it to you because I think that Peloton really felt as though what they intended was greatly misunderstood. See, Peloton's response, as I kind of did a little bit of research to this, was this. This is their words. While we are disappointed in how some have misinterpreted this commercial, we believe that the Peloton bike can change lives meaningfully and positively. Their intention was that the gift would bring change, meaningful and positive. But there was a lot of misunderstanding in how the ad portrayed that and how it came across. In the minds of the creators, they felt it was a good ad because they believed, again, that it was a good gift, that it would change lives, that this was a beneficial thing. But that wasn't quite how it was received. I show you that because I find it to be true of a gift I feel that God has actually given to us, and one that for many of us, we probably have a lot of misunderstanding around. And that gift is the gift of the Sabbath. It's a gift that for many of us, we don't appreciate. One that many of us have adverse reactions to, or one that many of us probably ignore or possibly never even use. It's often misunderstood as possibly another rule to follow, a command that was only relevant in the Old Testament, laziness, relaxing, a day off, abstinence of work. Another thing that we just simply need to do. And I believe that God's response to us would be similar to the response that Peloton gave following their ad. And this is just kind of some of my thoughts of maybe the way in which God would respond to us. This is how I put it. I said, while I am disappointed in God speaking, while I am disappointed in how some have misinterpreted the Sabbath, I believe the Sabbath can change lives meaningfully and positively. In the New Testament, Jesus speaks to this when in Mark chapter 2, verse 27, he says this: the Sabbath was created for man, not man for the Sabbath. See, in the New Testament, the Pharisees often tried to use the Sabbath as yet another rule to follow, or another trap, another thing to just put on people that they would have to do and have to follow. And they actually condemned Jesus and his disciples for doing work on the Sabbath. But Jesus brings God's true intention for the Sabbath back into focus with those words in the book of Mark. See, the Sabbath is meant to be a gift to mankind rather than a crushing obligation. Sabbath is not a command, but an invitation to journey towards intimacy with Jesus. It's an invitation to make space for our souls to rest and to appreciate God's presence. The gift is given with our need of rest in mind. And so as we talk about rhythms through the next month here, rest is a need that we have. And the Sabbath is a gift that God has given to us in response to that need. Sabbath is the gift that helps to meet us in our need for rest. Now, my hope for us today is that we'll truly understand the gift of Sabbath and learn how to enter that rest that our souls were created for, and if we're honest, so desperately need. But to do this, we need to start by going back to Genesis. And so flip your Bibles just a few pages and go to Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 2 and 3. Genesis chapter 2, starting in verse 2. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy because on it, he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. This is the first moment that we start to understand Sabbath, or this rhythm of rest. Have you ever wondered, when you read through that creation account, why it is that God rests on the seventh day? Was it because he was so exhausted from the exertion of creating for 6 days that he just simply needed to physically rest? Was it that he needed a day off, or that he was overworked? Was he tired? No. The point was to set an example, or to model the importance of rest. And the model that is set for us is a model of ceasing, or in other words, a stopping of previous work. On that seventh day, God ceased. He rested from the work that he had already engaged in. Rest begins with ceasing from previous activity. Now, before we keep talking about rest, I think it's important that we just make a quick note about work here. That note being that work is not the enemy. In fact, God created work as well. He worked for 6 days. He modeled the importance of work as well, and he designed us to be productive. Mark Buchanan, who wrote a great book that has helped me greatly, The Rest of God. In that book, he writes, God values our work and wants us to value it likewise. There is sanctity in honest work. There is something in it that pleases not just the eyes of man, but the heart of God. The problem is, though, when work defines us and we forsake the gift of rest by continually engaging in work. We've tricked ourselves into thinking that busyness and overworking actually allows us to thrive. I don't know about you, but we often joke or comment about how busy my life is, or how busy your life is. I'm just so busy. How often is that the first answer that you receive when someone asks, how are you doing? I'm just so busy. And the thing is, we almost wear that like a badge of honor. We get rewarded for busyness and long hours and crazy activity. If you accomplish enough, make enough money, achieve enough grades, or accumulate enough fame, then you'll be accepted. You'll be okay. You'll be set. And so we become enslaved to our work. Busyness robs us of truly knowing God and all he is. And God knows this, and so he models for us in Genesis already this healthy rhythm of taking rest from our work. He models the importance of ceasing from work to find rest. Now, true rest is something that we all desperately need, and many of us just can't seem to find. Rest here is not so much about downtime or sleep, although those things are obviously important. Rest time does not just mean kicking up feet and watching Netflix or blocking out anything that might resemble work. But rest is so much more than just taking a day to recuperate from a hectic work week. The rest that's modeled for us by God is rest for our souls. And the rest is defined by ceasing from previous activity as he modeled for us. He ceased in order that he would enjoy his creation. When we cease, we let go of this need that we so desperately have, this need to accomplish, to be productive. It's a letting go of the worry and tension that often accompany efficiency, from our efforts to be in control of our lives as if we were God. And so this kind of leads into the second part of rest, that second part being, if we truly want to rest, we need to cease, but we need to stop trying to be God. This is a good way to think about Sabbath rest. Stop trying to be God and follow his example. When we resist Sabbath, we often try to take the place of God. We're driven by this mindset of, how will things happen? How will anything get accomplished if I rest? I need to drive the agenda. Sabbath rest, though, is ceasing from this mindset and trusting that God is sovereign. Now, this is hard for many of us because we're drawn into the always want to be in perpetual motion, always accomplishing, always thinking of the next thing on the list to be done, always wanting to be productive, sleeping a bit less, scheduling more efficiently, cramming as much into our day as we possibly can. But God has more for us than busyness. He wants us to rest in him. To practice Sabbath is a disciplined and faithful way to remember that you are not the one that keeps the world running, who provides for your family, not even the one who keeps work projects moving forward. The Sabbath is a day to let go, to stop trying to control people and situations. It's a day to unhook from performing for people or for pleasing people. It's a day to focus on what God is graciously doing all around you and to respond to him rather than depending on your own abilities to make things happen. Sabbath really is a discipline of trust, a turning over to God of things, our money, our work, our grades, our status, our reputation, our plans, our projects. Keeping the Sabbath teaches us to trust God and to enjoy him. It helps us to be governed by our good God and what we do and how we do it. It's God's way to set us free of worry, anxiety, ambition, adrenaline, self-importance, anger, even loneliness. But if we don't trust God's sovereignty in our life, then we never will risk taking Sabbath. The Sabbath should be to remind our souls that God is in charge, that he leads me, that I can trust him in absolutely everything. As we do these things, we will begin to strive less and receive more, encountering the true God. And when God rested, it was to enjoy what he had created. The same is true for us. When we rest, it is to enjoy God. And so we need to, in order to observe Sabbath and find that rest, strive less, receive more. Go back to Mark chapter 2, verse 27 with me. That verse reads this. Then he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath." See, Sabbath is an invitation. It's a gift to God's people. And it's an invitation to rest in Jesus. Jesus tells us, "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Sabbath is now a spiritual discipline that's custom made for you to be intentionally still and restful. Sabbath isn't meant to be law or ritual as it was in Old Testament, but it was by no means meant to be another thing or burden. Rather, Sabbath is given as a time to enjoy the presence of God. Sabbath rest is about moving towards intimacy with God and experiencing his presence. Sabbath rest invites you to refocus your heart, to quiet your mind, and devote your time in order to embrace God. Keith Yoder says, "God wants to do a purifying work in us. When we are busy working, we may not notice the depth of the cancer still within our souls, drowned out by our daily tasks. But when we take time to abstain from labor, we're no longer distracted by outside responsibilities, and the state of our inner man takes center stage as we allow the Lord to shine his surgeon's light on our hearts. Sabbath rest is a time we can hear our inner cries and discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts." It's hard to grow closer to God when we're so preoccupied with other things happening in our life. Taking Sabbath actually allows us to pause and hear what God is saying and allows us to lie still enough, because we're always moving, so that he can actually do a changing work in our life. If I never slow down, if I'm always going, always immersed in the next thing, God never has a moment to do work in my life. God calls us to lie still enough so that he can begin to do that work. And we must start from a place of resting and abiding in God. All living things grow, and in order to be productive, we must live in this rhythm of work and rest. We must learn to work from our rest rather than rest from our work. See, God allows us to rest so that we have what we need in order to work, instead of coming into that rest exhausted from our work. We begin our work week by resting in God, appreciating his work for creation, rejoicing in his goodness to us, gathering perspective and strength from him to engage in the work that's ahead, and to do it with him in the easy yoke of Jesus. Life without rest is not sustainable. Rest refreshes us. It gives us the energy we need to honor God and to love others. Most of us, we would probably say, are exhausted. We're drained. We're tired. And this can make sabbatical or Sabbath seem like one more thing to do, just adding one more thing to the list. But as we look at some practical ideas of what Sabbath could look like, I hope that you'll see it as an invitation to enjoy rest, both as a specific time, but also as an attitude in the way in which we live each and every day. Again, Mark Buchanan writes this. He says, if we develop a Sabbath heart, we can find rest even in the upheaval. To do this, we need to change our minds, which we've talked about some already, but we also need to have changed practices in our life. And so that's where I want us to focus the rest of our time. What does Sabbath practically look like for us in our lives moving forward? Sabbath is about rhythms, but also about intentionally setting aside time. And so how do we get there? As we jump into this, I want to just start with a few thoughts. Sabbath can have different paths and rhythms for different people. I think that's really important for all of us to know. There's no one size fits all when we talk about rest. Although the ways we enact Sabbath in our lives will differ from one another, the purpose is the same though. And it leads to that vitality and that encountering that depth with Christ. But we might do it all in a little bit of a different way, and that's okay. Secondly, start small. Setting aside a day, a month, or one night a week to have that Sabbath rest. Often Sabbath has been talked about taking one day every week, and that was the rhythm. And that can be a lot to jump into, and so I just want to encourage us to think as we talk about this, to start small, to get into rhythms, and then to grow from there. You can review your day and week. And again, in that book, Rest of God, Mark Buchanan says that this is kind of a good way to start. At the end of your day, ask, where did I feel most alive, most helpful, most in the presence of God? Where did I feel most dead, most despairing, the farthest from God? What fulfilled me and left me forsaken? What did I taste consolation and where desolation? This helps you to see where God is moving and where he is at work. Part of Sabbath rest is celebrating again that God is in control, resting in that, but celebrating God's goodness. Starting small by just kind of daily reflecting like that is a good thing to do. What are some other ways that we can find intentional rest for our souls in the way that God intended? Well, the first one, putting away work. Stopping all scheduled work, even ministry activities. Don't plan anything. Having a specific time where you disengage from work. Again, remember that Sabbath begins with ceasing. So whether that work is no laundry, no weeding, gardening, yard work, shoveling, housework, cooking, exercising, dishes, working, your kids' activities, chores, errands, literally taking work out of the picture, ceasing from previous activity to find a time when you can just rest. Secondly, disconnect. If you want to hear God, you need to disconnect from the distractions of this world, and how many of those distractions do we have? For a few hours or a whole day, choose to disconnect. It's said that for most people this generation, our youth, they have at least 3 devices on the go at a time, access to them. What if there was in your week a few hours or a day where you chose to disengage, where the phone was turned off, where it was left in a place where you couldn't access it, where you got off social media for the older generation, Facebook, or email for my new generation, Instagram, or whatever, your YouTube, all of these things. What if we just disengaged from those things and spent focus time with our loved ones and with God? Resolve to spend a set amount of time unplugged. Another way to do that could be taking public transportation and relaxing in the extra time it takes to get you where you're going. I know public transportation can be stressful too, but if you're not behind the wheel, you have time to be able to sit and maybe listen or read, finding times and places again where you can just disconnect and disengage. Thirdly, find what recharges you. This is part of rest. Do what recreates, restores, renews, refills you spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. Do what increases your joy, your delight, and your rest. Avoid doing what detracts from any of these things. If you feel recharged after relational activity, like me, being with people, then be with people. If you feel recharged after being on your own and in solitude, then find time to be able to do that. You can do things like playing games or joining a sports league, starting a hobby, reading a novel, taking a nap. If that's what recharges you, that's a good thing. Go for a hike. Go for a walk by yourself or with others. Have a date night. Enjoy good food. I like to cook and bake. That actually recharges me. It shocks a lot of people, but I like that, and that's a good thing. Find what recharges you. That's not work for me. Find time with family, with friends. Sing, dance in the kitchen like I do with my daughter. Have fun. Garden. Play in the snow. Find what recharges you and engage in that. Fourth, enjoy God. There are ways and places unique to each of us that allow us to connect best with God. Explore new ways. Try new things. Enjoy his presence. This is what Sabbath is for, to rest and to enjoy God's presence. Are you taking time to enjoy his presence? We want to come alongside you as a church in that. And one thing that we really want to do this coming month here, the week of January 13th through 19th, is invite you to begin with restful prayer with us. We want to help to create some rhythms for you that would allow you to disengage and enjoy God. And so what we're going to do the week of January 13th there is we're going to invite you to just be part of a few different things. And again, not for it to be one more thing on the calendar, but for it to be something in which we are inviting you into the rest of God, to come and to be with other people. And so Monday, January 13th, 6 a.m. and 7 a.m., we're going to have a time of corporate prayer here. We did this last year, and hopefully this allows people who go to work early or school to come. And we'll have some guided prayer for us to do together. But again, a time to enjoy God's presence. Wednesday, January 15th, 7 p.m. here in the sanctuary. We want to pray and worship together and invite everyone to come and be a part of that. And then Sunday, January 19th, we want to end that week with another night of worship and prayer. And throughout the week, outside of those times, we're going to just open our sanctuary and you can stop by and there's going to be some guided exercises and things that you can engage in. But we want to challenge you and invite you into that gift that God has given us of Sabbath to rest in him. And so in the chair pocket in front of you, you'll find cards that have those times on there. And we want to ask of you today that you would be willing to say, yes, I'm in. Because it's one thing for us to say, oh, that's great, and yeah, maybe I'll do that. But we really want to encourage you to say, yeah, I'm in. I want to engage in that rest and engage in enjoying God and his presence. So if you're interested in doing that, all we're going to ask of you today is if you would just fill out your name and an email on there, and then at the end of my message, we're going to collect those cards. But we would love for us as a church family to engage in the rest that God has given us as a gift together. And that's part of enjoying God. And as we go through a few more kind of examples of that, you'll see that corporate things are good too. And that's why we gather even here Sunday mornings, to rest in God's presence. So if you're interested, and I hope that you are, take a moment there, fill that out, and then, like I said, at the end, we'll come and we'll collect those. A few other things. That's one thing we want to do together as a church. But as we talk about enjoying God and simply sit in the silence of God and enjoy his presence, praise and worship God, put on worship music at home and sing, listen to it, whether it's in the car or in your home. If you have kids, bookend the day by starting and ending with a favorite worship song. My daughter's really started to listen to a few and has enjoyed a few now, and I love listening to those with her at any time through the day, but I love that she's asking for that now. And the fact that we can do that together. Rest is something that we can do as a family, even if we have young kids. Spend time in prayer on your own or with family, with others. Start a prayer journal and record the things that you're praying. Go deeper in scripture. Use that Bible app that's on all those devices that we all carry and find a great plan that you can journey with. Join a small group. Again, intimacy doesn't just need to be on our own with God. It can be in community. Invest at least a couple hours each week with people you love. Don't set an agenda. Just show up and enjoy each other's company and see what God might do. Delight in God's creation. We're surrounded by it. We heard about it this morning. We're people who love that. Go out and enjoy God's creation. Take a seminary class. In your car, turn off music or the radio and pray. Sing on your own. No one's listening. People might look at you funny through the windows. I get that. But they're not hearing what you're saying, so that's okay. Once each quarter, find a way to take a personal retreat or a day. Is there a time that you can be removed? We have great retreat centers around us. Kingsfold. There's the Catholic Retreat Center just up on the hill, and it's an amazing place to go and be in that silence once again. Be part of church regularly and a body of believers. Read Bible stories to your children. Read a book that brings you towards Christ. Get up early and watch the sunrise. Maybe many of us have never seen that. No, that's not me. Maybe, I don't know. Take 5-10 minutes each day and write down a worry that you have for the day and pray through that throughout the day. Write down a responsibility that you have for the day. Give that to prayer, to God in prayer. Enjoy God's presence. That brings rest to our souls. And then the last thing, rest has seasons. I think this is really important to know. It's hard to rest consistently, especially say if you have a new child or you're caring for a loved one who's sick and you're constantly on healthcare duty or maybe the type of work that you're working. There's all different types of seasons in our life that have different rhythms. And so Sabbath rest will look different at different times. Be okay with and be willing to flex how you rest in order to fit the rhythms of life. As they change and as they go, there will be different seasons of rest that we experience and that we have. Rest for me now looks different than when I didn't have a child. Rest for us will look different at different periods in our life. For me, myself, I'm thankful and want to share with you too that I have a unique season of rest that I am able to have coming up. The church leadership here has been generous to grant myself a 3-month sabbatical starting in April. And I will be able to engage in furthering my understanding and passion for youth ministry to continue to serve here better and just to understand my calling more. And what a great blessing to have a season like that. And I'd love to share with you more in the coming months about what that will look like. But for each of us, we have these different seasons. Try daily practices. So finding that daily devotional or praying or giving that thought. Find weekly practices, weekly rhythms. Commit to one full day of rest, maybe once a month. Plan for those seasonal or annual things of rest, whether it's a retreat or celebrating seasons of times where you really have that opportunity to engage deeper spiritually, such as maybe Advent or Lent. Seasons are important. I think these are good ways for us to really enter into that rest, that gift that God has given to us. God created Sabbath, again, not as another rule for us to obey or something to drain us, but God's original intent for Sabbath was to breathe life into God's people. And isn't that what we all need? To have God's breath just breathed into us to give us that life and that rest when we're feeling so drained and exhausted. And hopefully these are some ways that can help to bring us to that place. We exhale all week long as we give ourselves to our jobs, our families, and other responsibilities. But when we practice this rhythm of Sabbath, we inhale that rest, joy, and delight, and can exhale all of that worry or grief and tension that has built throughout the week. So I'm going to just invite us to pray, and I'm going to invite the ushers at this time. After I'm done praying, they're going to come around to collect those cards that I invited you to fill out. So hopefully you can engage with us in that week of prayer. And if you filled one out, you can just pop it in the basket there as they collect. And then we're going to enter into communion together. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Sabbath that you have given to us, this gift of rest. And Lord, for so many of us, it's a gift that we've long misunderstood or probably neglected, maybe never even been aware of. But God, you call us to find that rest within you, to not be enslaved to our work and be driven by those things that that fill our weeks and our lives, but Lord, to find that time where you can breathe life into us. Your desire for us is that we would work out of a place of rest and fullness, a cup that is overflowing, not coming into you just drained and exhausted. So God, we would just ask that we would find that rest within you, that we would start to develop these rhythms and these practices that would bring us closer to you and that would just breathe that life into us that we so desperately need. As we look to just kind of engage in it in a few simple ways in the coming weeks here together as a church family, God, would they just be really fruitful and meaningful? Would you meet with us there? In your name we pray, amen.